Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, guess what time it is? Welcome to the F4L headquarters. I'm your host with the most. I am the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, and we have another special awesome time today as we have yet another Dream Master on our show today. And, you know, what's interesting is this young man is actually going to be featured on our upcoming show, and it's very rare we get to hear from someone who's going to be featured on our show before they make their debut. So this should be interesting. So they'll be coming on momentarily. But first, hopefully, I want to get the important things out there. Well, not all of this is important, but I want to give a quick shout out to everyone in the United States and everyone who celebrates Thanksgiving tomorrow, which is obviously tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving for those of us who celebrate Thanksgiving. So to all of those, happy Thanksgiving from my family to yours. And to everyone who doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thursday. And to everyone who's planning on going out Black Friday shopping, which is, I think, a worldwide phenomenon, please be safe, use common sense, and don't do anything, you know, too rash. I think this is an issue a lot of the times every year. Even during the dangerous times of last year, people still can't behave themselves going shopping for Christmas or holidays in general, which is kind of sad. And by the way, another thing, I want to wish our Jewish friends out there a happy early Hanukkah. I believe that is coming up there. So happy early Hanukkah to those people who are celebrating Hanukkah, because that's coming up too. So, you know, it's always good to celebrate everyone's nationalities and holidays and whatnot. So happy holiday. Hope you guys are all doing well. Like I said, today is just another Wednesday here as we are getting ready in this house for Thanksgiving. Hope you guys all have big plans. Hopefully those people who are planning on eating on Thanksgiving don't do the thing where you eat too much. Hopefully maybe our guest today can tell us how we can get rid of some of those carbs and whatnot. Maybe even a healthy diet for Thanksgiving. You never know. But yeah, we got a lot of things coming up down the pike. I have a lot of awesome guests coming on. It's going to be a lot of fun to the F4L headquarters. And it's important to do these things because I think it's important to recognize people who, you know, put the hard work and the dedication into making whatever their dream is reality, regardless if it's martial arts, if it's in the entertainment world, if it's, you know, being a YouTuber or whatever. As long as you're working towards a goal to accomplish something, then you're a dream master. You're also a woman warrior wrestling if you're female, but still, it's the same thing. And upcoming, I want to let people know that, you know, we're going to be continuing doing our usual thing as far as our show. And the exciting, as far as software updates, I got to be honest with you guys. The software we currently have is the software we got 2 years ago, 2020. Anyone who is a gaming expert, you can probably look at, you know, several hours of, you know, the issues and what they call the bugs and the various different, you know, glitches, if you would, that happened during the 2020 gaming of the WE2K series, which we use to make our show. In years past, we have you know, never had an issue like we did that year, where that's honestly why a lot of our shows, if you notice, I haven't streamed live in a long time because of the fact that the game itself can't handle that. And I find it crashes more often than we'd like. So it's better to do it our way, which is get everything done and then get it up. And so it's awesome. So that is always how it is, and we still have no control over the outcomes or anything like that, and I don't disclose any of the outcomes before they're actually up. So those of you guys who are also looking at the date, today is the 24th, you might be thinking, wait a minute, what happened to today's show? Well, as a special gift from me and my family, I actually put that show out early, as in a couple days ago, last week. So those of you people who are looking for today's episode, it's actually up on YouTube already early. I put that up there last week for you guys. We have a lot of big, huge, surprises, a debut, new champions. It was a pretty cool show all the way around. So the 4th of December will be just as epic, as we have a massive show for you guys planned. Yes. So today I had an appointment, as I said in my little Instagram live thing. Everything went awesome, by the way. Nothing to worry too much about. Another project in the works of the Icon. Who needs sleep? Too much work to do. So someone's got to get it done, right? So busy, busy I am. We got a lot going on, and we got a lot coming in, and we're going to take one thing at a time. So first of all, I want to say that apparently, according to the weather here in the Northeast, apparently it's going to be nice out tomorrow. And I don't know what everyone else's Turkey Day traditions are, but I know growing up, it changed a lot. For some reason, when we were younger, I never enjoyed it. Oddly enough, we had all this food, and I usually got physically ill every year. Not that that's a fun time, but that's just coincidental. And then the other thing would be later in life, and my high school years, I made it a point to go to the Turkey game, which is our big football game between my high school and the rival school, which is actually the northern part of my town. So a big shout out to, not that they're listening to me, but big shout out to the Quincy Presidents this year. Hopefully you guys go up there at Veterans Stadium, which is the same stadium where I graduated high school from, as well as I played on, and as well as someday I'm going to put a roof on so people can have indoor events there as well. But anyway, big shout out to the Quincy Presidents tomorrow. Best of luck to you guys and everyone who's playing football tomorrow for your Turkey Day traditions. Be safe. Don't do anything too rash. Be constructive and try to show sportsmanship. Remember, it's a game. I know it's hard to kind of grasp that, and it's also kind of hard to move past the fact that this is the biggest moment of your life, and it very well could be a highlight. But if you think that that's where your story is going to end and that's going to define you, then you are going to be surprised. I think that that should be a springboard into what you want to do in life. Big quick update. Our bowling team is climbing the ranks, ladies and gentlemen. Just before the summer, actually at the end of the summer, I was actually not going to be bowling, but my son convinced me to bowl our fall league. So those people who have wondered what this candlepin bowling thing is, I did post a picture the other day of what a candlepin bowling ball looks like, as well as what a candlepin bowling pin looks like, to kind of give you guys an idea of why it's different than a lot of other bowling you guys are associate with. Now, in case you're wondering, well, how come I haven't heard of this? It's because, it's mainly here in the Northeast that is popular. It was kind of invented here. And it's popular around here. In all honesty, Massachusetts, it was actually started in Worcester, Mass. And it traveled all the way up to Nova Scotia, which is in Canada for those people. Our Canadian audience knows that already, though. But that's as far as usually it goes. When you go further down, Rhode Island even, it's few and far between where you'll find a candlepin bowling alley. They have a thing called duck pin, however, which is a cross between candle pin and 10 pin, which I think the world is accustomed to 10 pin, which is the big balls, as we call it, that you put your fingers in the bowling ball holes and you throw the pins, and the pins are kind of what you guys would imagine is a bowling pin. To us, we kind of do it all. So there's that. I am working on a film project, which I'm going to be doing a documentary about candlepin bowling and stuff like that to kind of save the sport. I think it's a great family activity. I think it's important to be involved with something, either as a fan and whatnot. And when you become part of a team or a sport in general, I feel like that sometimes can carry you and give you more life lessons. It can help you as a person kind of learn how to be part of a team, how to work well, and there's many different aspects to it. I think it's going to be interesting. When we have our guest on today, we're going to ask him how. Now, he's coming from the MMA world, but I'm sure there's some, you know, representing a school or a team, there's always that, you know, brotherhood of the MMA world, right? So we're going to have to see how that works and see if that aspect is there as well. But I would imagine you can't get anywhere in life with a little help from someone. Usually, you know, you have a school you represent, and that's kind of your bond, I guess you'd say. So should be a very exciting moment. Yeah. So we are moments away from our guest who's going to be calling in all the way from down south, who, by the way, we're going to ask him if he knows what kind of bowling they have down there. And I would guarantee you he's going to describe you 10 pin because that's what they have pretty much everywhere in the world is the big balls, which everyone expects are, you know, what bowling is to the world. So that should be interesting. We'll ask him with all those things and a lot more. So that should be fun. just word of the wise for people coming on the show. I know a lot of people, you know, sometimes this is your first show, and probably a good way to start is on this show, because I'm probably one of the most laid-back people there is. This is kind of how I run my film sets and everything else. I like to have it kind of a laid-back atmosphere and to make sure you feel comfortable. This is more like a conversation between two friends that the world listens to, if you would. So whenever you're going to be a guest on the show, yeah, of course there's going to be those early butterflies or whatever if you've never talked to someone else who you've never heard from or whatever. But my advice to people is just be you. You know, be honest the best you can. Don't, you know, don't make up stuff just to make yourself sound better. And just be you. That's the best advice I can give anyone. Just be you. Talk, you know, how you can and, you know, whatever. So we had our friend John on last week, and a big shout out to him last week for coming on the show. It's great to have him. And he's an individual who we planned to talk to for 45 minutes and ended up going the entire show. Now, this young man today we have coming in, who is an MMA up and rising star, you know, we're going to shoot for about half hour. We're going to see how long that goes. As I said, sometimes what happens is you get comfortable and you're fine. Other times it's, you know, nerve-wracking or whatever. But I want to make sure people are as comfortable as possible. This is the F-World headquarters. And in this establishment, the one thing, the thing you can be always assured of is we're going to live the F-World way here. You're going to be treated as your F-World while you're here with love, caring, compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. So that's how that works. And that's how that works. But that is the F-World way. You can always be assumed you're going to be treated the F-World way with love, caring, compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences. So that's how that works. And also, those people who are coming on as guests on our show, which I was told momentarily our awesome guest is going to be calling soon. So just, you know, be you, relax, and breathe for everyone else, and you know, enjoy yourself while you're here in the F-World way. It's okay to be you no matter who you are, and you're always going to be treated the F-World way with love, care, and compassion, and understanding, and respect for each other's differences. I might not like your favorite movie or cartoon show or TV show or music choice, but I still respect you for having it. That's how that works. And the same thing, some people might not like a lot of the things I like. And we have a guest calling in.
Hello?
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 Hello? welcome to the F World headquarters. I am the icon Sean Jazz Stevenson. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with today?
Henry Ochoa Mena.
Hello, and how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, I'm living the dream, my friend, living my dream. I was just telling people how you're going to be coming on here and, you know, all the incredible things that, you know, you're doing and stuff like that, and talking a little bit about, you know, how hard work and kind of things like that kind of help play into certain other aspects, right?
Yeah.
There you go. So first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Do you guys celebrate Thanksgiving? I would imagine, right?
Oh, yes. We're celebrating Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving
awesome.
To you, too. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Oh, no worries. No worries. All right. So Henry, so we've been chatting a little bit, and I know you do a lot of the MMA stuff. So why don't you kind of talk us through it? Tell us about how you discovered, you know, your passion for this and what it means for you.
It means a lot, and the way I discovered it is I used to get bullied, and I think it was kindergarten. I used to get bullied, and there's this, like, second or third grader. He would always bully me every day, and the second my dad noticed that, as soon as I turned 5, my dad started teaching me how to box, and I loved it. We used to box a lot, and my dad finally found a gym years later, and an MMA gym, actually. And every time he would learn something or a new move or something, he would teach us, and we would have to drill it at home because I have a brother, and we always drill everything we know. And mm-hmm. we just started drilling. And then after that, my dad took me to a gym, and I destroyed everybody. I was in the top team.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, what is the school you belong to? You still involved with the same school, or you have a different training schedule now?
I have a different training schedule now. I train at Dominion MMA, and I also train at ASA BJJ, and those are two very great gyms.
Awesome. Now, you're doing the jiu-jitsu, or do they teach you a blend of everything? What are they actually teaching there? What do they specialize in?
Oh, at ASA BJJ, they specialize in jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. Mainly gi. And in Dominion, they do jiu-jitsu, MMA, boxing, kickboxing, peekaboo style. They teach all mm-hmm. that, and I'm learning a lot of it. I know a lot of boxing and peekaboo, but I'm learning a little bit of my kicks so I can prepare myself for the UFC when I get older.
The UFC, awesome stuff. Dana White runs the UFC. You obviously know that. Do you watch a lot of UFC?
Yes, I like to watch UFC a lot too.
Yeah.
I mean, I usually watch the Conor McGregor. I like him.
Yeah, I like Conor McGregor too. But I think that's because I'm Irish, though. But also, he's kind of got a swagger about him too, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's what I like, the confidence too. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's important. What do you think?
Yes, you need a lot of confidence and consistency and discipline. And
Absolutely.
Jesus, first of all.
There you go. That's awesome. Excellent. That's good to hear, man. Now, let me ask you this now. So when you're training for, you know, whatever it is or whatever, how do you dictate all your, like, priorities and chores or whatever? Like, what does, like, a day look like for you, basically, on an average day compared to most kids you probably know?
Okay. So first of all, we wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. We do every single move that we know. Well, first of all, we pray. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. And then we do our moves. We do our drills, every single move that we know. I do it to my brother. Then he does it to me. And then we go over, like, what we need to work on and what we need help on whenever an opponent does this or tries to counter it. Then after that, it'll be like an hour, 2 hours, hour and a half at max. And then we go to school. We do homeschool. And Sometimes they literally give me no breaks until like 2 o'clock or something. Then if I get a little break, I'll start doing my workout. I either do one workout is without weights, the other workout is with weights. Do you want me to tell you the workout?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about what goes into it, man.
Okay. Well, the workout that we sometimes do without the weights is 100 push-ups. We get no breaks. It's 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, 100 calf raises, 10 pull-ups, and then another 10 pull-ups, and then, 30 pull-ups, and then 6 more pull-ups, but they're all, like, different variations, like, of pull-ups, you know? And we take a little break, like a little 30-minute or hour break, and then we do our 2-hour at the gym. We do Dominion MMA for sometimes for 2 hours, and then we do ASA for another 2 hours. But yeah.
Now, those
so,
are the same school or the different schools right there? Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, different. Oh no, it's okay. It's different schools. One day, like on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll go to Dominion, and then the rest of the week we'll just go to ASA BJJ.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. So you guys mix it up pretty good then, basically. So you're not doing both things at the same time. You're gonna, you know, spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, we spread it all out so I won't be – because I'm sore a lot because we work out really hard and we give it our all every day.
I bet.
But
that's all you got to do it, yeah.
Weekend. Yeah, we get the weekends off to get a little break, or we'll sometimes go on Sunday or Saturday. I think it was Saturday. We'll go on open mat with the best in San Antonio or some kids that just came, like from Austin or Dallas, that are good too, are one of the big dogs, and they just came in. We'll do open mat with them, see what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Nice.
We just sometimes go. Sometimes it's 6 weeks.
Nice.
We train a lot.
That's awesome. That's awesome dedication right there. And you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, do you guys need an alarm or no?
An alarm? Yes, we always have an alarm just in case if we don't wake up. We sometimes wake up a little late.
Nice. Yeah, it happens, right? I get
yes.
you. Now, let me ask you this. I have multiple brothers and sisters myself, and fortunately and unfortunately for me, I was the only one that really caught into the combat world like that. But I can tell you that having multiple siblings, you know, we still have that, you know, sibling rivalry, right? So when you guys are both competing and stuff like that, do you guys ever kind of butt heads in training or whatever? How does that work with you guys? You have a brother that does it too, correct?
Yes. Yes. What is it called? So the funny part is we'll train and we won't hurt each other because we never hurt each other. And even my training partners, we never hurt. We go 100, but we never hurt each other on a submission. We either slow it down or not give it our all on the submission. But my brother, when we do competitions, it's funny because when I was littler, I'm not the same weight as him anymore because I'm getting older. But when we were littler and we were the same weight, we would do rock, paper, scissors. Yeah, and we would always win because we're like the best. So we will always win. And so we will always have to go against each other. And what we would do is we would play rock, paper, scissors. And somehow I would always win. But yeah, so we could just play pot, rock, paper, scissors to see who would win for the belt or whatever, the medal.
There you go. Good stuff. So now when you guys get competing for the belts and stuff like that, does he just basically lay down for you because you guys agree upon that, or does he give you the 100% anyway when you're competing in that tournament? You guys aren't in the same weight class though, right?
Yeah, we were, but not no more, but yes, we were. When we were... Sometimes I would be like, okay, this is something that I've really been training hard and I'm going to give it my all on you. I'm not going to play no rock, paper, scissors because I've been training hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that can get kind of touchy because I know I'm very competitive, I've been told.
Yeah.
So I don't like losing. But so I give it 100%, 120% usually. Because I don't really like to take it easy at all. But, if I'm in there to win it, I'm there to win it. You know what I mean? I'm not going in there to kind of half do things. You know what I mean? I want to give it 100% or 100 more than 100%. Because you need to.
Yes.
Because you don't know what the other guy is going to bring to the mat. Now, Let me ask you this now. Do you have any pre-match rituals? Because some people have those and some people don't. You know what a pre-match ritual is? I'm sure you do. You compete in tournaments, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I do not. Can you explain it?
Okay, so yeah, sure, no problem. So pre-match ritual is something you do before every fight. Usually, sometimes it's like a superstitious thing. Like sometimes, you know, some people might listen to a certain song. Someone might do a certain kind of workout. Someone might do a certain prayer. You might dedicate a fight to somebody. Who might, you know, remember someone who irritated you earlier in the week and say, that's the guy who I'm going to unload it on. You know what I mean? Or some people even have other different pre-fight rituals. Sometimes they, you know, watch SpongeBob SquarePants. I've seen that before. Or cartoons before having a big fight. Some people listen to Beethoven. I've seen a lot. But, like, when you compete, like, do you do anything prior to going to the ring? Or do you just kind of like, all right, I'm here to fight. Let's go.
Okay. Can I tell you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's I'll tell you. Okay. Thank you. What is it called? So what I do before a fight, first I would pray. I pray before the fight. And even on some of the super fights, you'll see that I pray. But sometimes I do it in the back. But, yes, before I get on the stage, I'll pray. And I would, like, get a little warmed up. I'll see some kids that are on my team that are going against some other kids. And I like my teammates. I'm like, okay, let's do a little – warm-up drill or something to get our body a little loose, and we'll do that. But first I'll pray. I'll listen to some music, some hype music. I like to listen to some hype music to get worked out and pumped before the fight. I usually just pray and get warmed up.
Awesome. Now, when you're working out, do you guys listen to music when you're working out, or you just got to just, you know, work out?
Well, it's rare if we listen to music while we work out. I really don't care if there's music. I just go 100 all the time.
No, you're good.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's not just, no worries. You're doing good. No, it's just I know some people who, when they work out and they go to the gym, whatever, they need to have music on. And they have to blast the tunes or to lift weights and do all these things. Some people need that for extra, like, whatever. But then again, there's some people just have that regiment that they can just go out there and do 100 times 20 different exercises and not have to listen to anything just because they're that dedicated. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's me.
There you go. That's good. That's a good quality to have, not to need something to get you going. That's a good thing. So yes, what kind of music do you listen to? No worries.
Rap music. Okay. I love listening rap music. And something that just gets me hyped.
Yeah. So is there like some big, huge rap artist who really gets you really getting going or whatever, or just in general?
Eminem and Lil Wayne.
Oh, Eminem. The Detroit guy.
Yeah.
Eminem, right? There you go.
Yes.
I actually worked with some guys who used to know Wood from Detroit back in the day. Yeah, good stuff. So now I see you're on YouTube too.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking. So I saw that you're also on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yes.
So now what started first, the martial arts or the YouTube?
Martial arts.
Yeah. Now, compared to the martial arts, which do you like better, the YouTube or the martial arts?
Martial arts, for sure.
Definitely, right? Not to mention you have more highlights that you can put on YouTube if you're doing martial arts, right?
Yep. That's why I started the YouTube.
There you go. Good stuff. I mean, I've seen the workouts. They're very impressive.
Thank you.
And you're in incredible shape because you're dedicated. You know, got to respect that, you know, and you got to respect people who have a lot of dedication. You need that. So now tomorrow's Thanksgiving, right? So what I was saying to people is maybe we can ask you. So Because we all know what's going to happen for 90% of the world. Everyone's going to overeat tomorrow, right? So
yes.
What is your diet going to be consisted of, and how are you going to kind of keep yourself in the, you know, fighting shape of while enjoying Thanksgiving?
Well, it's very hard for me to gain weight because I'm a little kid compared to all these other 13-year-olds. So I always try to move up in weight. I don't like mm-hmm. cutting weight. I feel like that takes no skill and that's cheating to me. So mm-hmm. I like to either move up in weight, or I always just, when I was little, I always just fought bigger opponents. And that's just what I mm-hmm. do. I always fight mm-hmm. bigger, older. And so I never have a diet. I never eat healthy. I just eat like tacos, Mexican food. So on Thanksgiving, I'm just going to eat all the turkey.
There you go. That's good stuff. I respect that. That's good stuff. And the fact that you eat the tacos and stuff, my wife will be happy. And so will my own family like that stuff. They are also of Hispanic culture, my wife and my kids and stuff. So we're big
yeah.
taco eaters in this house. But,
yeah.
That's good stuff.
They like menudo too, and lengua, all that.
All right. Good stuff. You know, I actually knew some people when I was growing up that actually had that same thing where they couldn't gain any weight. I was one of those kids growing up, actually, to be honest with you. But then, you know, life happens, you get older, and then things start slowing down a little bit. But, you know, what's funny is your work ethic doesn't go away, and all the knowledge you still have, no matter how old or how big you get, you still have that drive, which is pretty cool. So I guess it's that, huh?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
No worries. So now I was letting people know that, you know, very rarely do we get someone who's going to be featured on our YouTube show on the show before they debut. So now have you seen any of the stuff we've done already by any chance? Obviously you've seen what I've built you, correct?
Yes.
Have you seen any of the other work we've done so far, out of curiosity? So you have kind of an idea what you're in for on December 4th.
I actually haven't had a chance.
Well, that's because you're a
busy
man.
I've been so busy working out.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. I'd rather you be busy
yeah.
working out. That's a good thing. But, you know, as always, whenever you're doing stuff, I'll send it to you anyway. That's how I do things. But what do you think that's going to be like? What do you think?
What is? I'm sorry.
What do you think it's going to be like to have you to eventually see yourself competing on this kind of a stage? See, I've had some people on the show before who didn't even know they were as big as they are. I've talked to people that didn't even know they were as popular as they are. Because let me tell you, I get emails all the time about almost every one of our roster members. And then I have to, you know, ask questions or send them on to the people and stuff. So the fact that I can tell you that when you're a part of the show, people are going to see this is who you are. And this is what you're going to get your fan base from our show alone. And I'm just curious,
yeah.
you know, have you ever seen yourself in that kind of a stance before?
I'm just super excited. And I want to see it. I think it's very cool how you do that. That's talented. And I like what you do.
I appreciate that. You know, that as always, as I like to tell everyone, I actually have to put it in every single video clip, in every single show I'm going to put it in, that we have no control over the outcomes, because we don't. We don't
yeah.
pick the winners and losers, and the game itself picks them, and it's all up to the hard work of the car, or the creator wrestler character.
That is cool.
That's
cool.
The way this show started, I think I told you before, but where our show started is because a lot of people always wondered who's tougher than so-and-so, right? Like, there's always that debate.
Yeah.
What if Chuck Norris yeah. took on Bruce Lee in his prime? Who would win, right?
Yeah.
Talk about the fighting world, because, I mean, that's where we come from, right? Or, like, Jet
yeah.
Lee and Bruce Lee, who's quicker, right? That would be iconic, right? Well,
yeah.
There's all these debates, but no one would ever figure out, like, who. Everyone would sit there and, you know, debate back and forth. I said, why talk about it? Just do it. And obviously, we can't have Bruce Lee versus Jet Li or Bruce Lee versus anyone. But we found a way, my son and I, that we built these people and put them in a fight against each other, and then the computer picks who the winner is. And that's why we called it dream matches, because that's exactly
cool.
What they were. You get to find out once and for all who's tougher. And then, of course, it, you know, spiraled out of, you know, all over the place between, you know, went from fighting to sports to comics to, I mean, it's really endless, really. And then last year when everyone else was kind of sitting at home, and, you know, I always see the positive in everything, or I try to. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm a person who works a lot. I don't know if you know, but I was working creative for a major wrestling company up until last December. So it takes a lot. You're always busy doing things, and as a filmmaker and everything else I do, I am always on the road. I don't have a lot of time to do a lot of everything. So last year we all kind of had to sit in one place and kind of, you know, work from home, so to speak. But thankfully, due to that, I was able to see amazing people like yourself and other amazing people out there who are like, you know what, people should be paying attention to these people. These are people who are, you know, busting their tails and trying to get what they want to get done in life, and they're incredible. So that's when I started to, you know, reach out via, you know, various different things and say, hey, me and my son have done this show. And, of course, my son wanted to do his own thing because he's getting older. You know how that goes. Well, you don't yet, but you will. Your parents can tell you what it's like. The kids want to do their own thing, so he wanted to do his own show with his friends, and then I was like, okay, what am I going to do with what we call Dream Matches? Actually, at that point, it was Dream Masters, because YouTube dubbed us as the originators of the entire, like, that whole thing was basically us who started that whole trend, which now everyone likes to try. But liking combat sports, game, the only one, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. So that's how we started Dream Masters. And that's kind of how, actually, he was sick from school. That's how it started. I wanted to cheer him up, and I built Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson. And to cheer him up, I said, okay, let's see who would win. And as we were doing that, I was doing the commentary, because I come from the wrestling background. I did pro wrestling for, well, actually, I just celebrated 24 years being involved with that. So. There's that. I think it's 24. I lost track. And that's just that. But then I did that. And so I used the commentary. In all honesty, it was a lot of fun. And thankfully, now we have this show here where we have people like yourself who are part of the new F4L icons, or icons of the F4L, who are real-life people who are doing their, you know, making their own dreams happen, whether it be MMA or dance or movies or whatever. Because I think everybody should be celebrated in their own way. So I appreciate you being so on board. And actually, you've been very helpful, in especially in the design of your car, which usually it's like someone says, yeah, you can build me. And then I build them. I'm like, okay, cool. And, you know, which I appreciate. I try to get as close as I can. But, I really appreciate, you know, your involvement, because I think, remember, it's you you're representing, your cause is you, basically. And I think that's going to be awesome. I think you're going to do well in the show, because I've already seen your demo match. It's not a match official, by the way, because that's but your match is officially going to be on the 12th, on December 4th is your day, when you're going to make your in-ring debut. Your opponent to be announced later. But going with that, just for fun, if you were to get a pick, who is someone who you'd absolutely love to get in the ring and tangle with? Could be anyone, by the way.
Okay. It could be anyone, like in the game?
Could be anyone or any general. Or anyone, any place, anything. If you watch our show long enough, we have a very long base. We have people you even compete with in combat sports on our roster.
That's cool.
I'm sure you're going to see people. Go ahead.
I want to do Bruce Lee. I want him to see how he fights.
You want to face Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
Okay. I respect that. I fought Chuck Norris one time, who, by the way, who founded Chuck Hudo. And I learned that, you know, maybe I should just let the master be the master. That was fun. It was a good time. I can tell you this, though. I might not have been able to beat Chuck Norris, who was the guy who founded Chuck Kudo, but I was able to beat Brock Lesnar anytime I fought him because he wasn't trained by Chuck Norris or Bruce Lee.
Ooh, that's cool.
And in real wrestling, I mean, that's beside the point. Professional wrestling you see on TV, that's a different story. I've done a lot of that multiple times, and that is, you know, it is what it is. Fun fact is up until, actually, in 2019, I was actually asked, you know, you're familiar with Dana White. He's the guy who runs UFC.
Yes.
He actually asked me, because, well, I don't know if you're familiar with a certain Canadian pop singer by any chance, but there's a certain Canadian pop singer a while back, probably like 2018, who was challenging people everywhere to UFC fights. He even challenged Tom Cruise, actually, of all people.
No.
You know who I'm talking about or no?
No.
Okay, that's okay. Trust me. But anyway, there was a certain pop singer from Canada who wanted to challenge Tom Cruise to a UFC fight. And then when Tom Cruise said, okay, I'll fight you, he's like, oh, no, I was just playing with you. You know, one of those, let's talk real tough. And then, you know, back out. And I'm someone who stands by my word, and I'm someone who doesn't agree. I actually can't stand bullies as myself, so I completely am on board with you there. In fact, I have a really good friend of mine. His name is Dan Pewter. He used to be he actually was an MMA fighter as well as a wrestler. And now he runs an organization that helps kids fight against bullying and kind of empower them to kind of find their own inner power and, you know, rise above the bullying and the hate. And Dan Hughes is a really good friend of mine. So you said earlier about how, you know, bullying kind of spiraled you into that. I said, you know what? Good for this kid. Good for you. You're a young man who's going places, and that alone goes to say that you know what you're doing.
Yes.
So let me ask you
so
this.
Much.
When it came down to it, how'd you deal with the bully? Did they bully after you learned how to fight? I bet not, huh?
No, I haven't got bullied in so long.
Right. Because you actually had to, what, stand up for yourself, right?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, because you're a younger person and stuff like that. It's been a little while since I've been in school, so I don't know how the bullying thing has changed or not. But I have often found that usually bullies, once they find out they can't bully anymore, usually kind of lose all of their power. Is that kind of what happened here?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, do you still talk to those kids? Do you still see them? And how do they react to you now?
They just don't even, like if they don't exist, like, I don't ever see them anymore.
There you go. Well, there you go.
Yeah, they moved different schools, too. So that's cool.
You did. Yeah. That helps, right?
Yes. There you go. You know what's cool?
What's that?
You know how December the 4th is where my character is going to fight?
Yep.
Well, I actually have a competition in Naga Worlds in Dallas on the same day. So
really?
When I win, I'm probably going to win the fight little characters too.
I got to tell you, I've seen what you did against somebody the other day. And there's a few people who are new to who are going to be showing up along with you during making their debuts around the same time as you. And I got to tell you, I don't know. We're going to have to get stopwatches soon to make that part of a thing. You know, seeing how you, I know you like the YouTube stuff now. Do you play video games?
Yes. I do.
You do play video games. And what do you play for video games? Out of curiosity, it's been so long since I've talked to someone who plays a video game.
I play Mortal Kombat 11. I used to play Halo 5. And I still play. I mean, no, I don't really play Halo 5 anymore. But I play Call of Duty Warzone, Call of Duty Black Ops. And on my phone, I just play Clash Royale.
Now, do you have a PlayStation or an Xbox?
Xbox One.
Or both.
But
Xbox One.
Yeah. I also play Apex. So I have games that you can also add other people like on PlayStation and PC. So that's a cool part.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's a cool time. Yeah, I used the WWE 2K game to, in order to make all of our shows. Unfortunately, the 2020 game was absolute trash. But otherwise, our show would be a lot better than it is. Because I used to do our shows live on, as they went on until the game was horribly built. So now it crashes and it's terrible. And I don't – kind of like everything else, I have a very – I'm a – I guess that you might say I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I don't like, you know, things not looking good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Me too.
I don't like, I'm very detail-oriented. If ask my family. If I write something and if it doesn't look good, I'll just rip the paper up and throw it away. That's how intense I am when it comes to perfection. I want to make it look good. I mean, even down to, like, I actually just developed a whole new, booking of the show system, which is a lot better. But, again, I've ripped those up and threw them away after making one mistake. And my son and my wife are like, what are you doing? That's the whole thing. I'm like, no, it's not good. It's gone. It's attention to detail. And it's about how, you know, because that represents, not only is it me who I feel that would, you know, look bad. It would just make the whole thing look bad. So not something I like to enjoy. Now, who are your big people in UFC? Who do you like in the UFC?
I like Nate Diaz. And Nick Diaz, they're really cool. And I also love to watch McGregor. His confidence is OP. And he just fights like a legend.
Yes, indeed. He does. He's got that swagger about them. Now, I think I talked to you before. When you compete, now back when I was competing, and I think I told you before, but way back in the day, which was not a Wednesday, by the way, that's a myth. My good friend Dane Cook made a joke about that a long time ago, but it's any day is a back in the day thing. But anyway, when I was like 4 or 5, I started what they did freestyle tournaments, which was basically kids who are what we call cross-trained. So I was trained in the various forms of martial arts at the time, as well as boxing like yourself. And then I added Muay Thai to it as well. Muay Thai is interesting too. But when you're cross-trained, you could actually compete in what they called these freestyle tournaments, where you would compete against various other schools and regionals, kind of like what you're doing now. One thing I got to ask you, now, do you guys have to wear, like, safety equipment now or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
For kickboxing, yes, we do, actually. You have to wear, like, shin guards and, like, helmets, little helmets.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering. Pieces. Okay. Yeah, so things changed, in other words. Okay,
yeah,
that's what I was wondering. Because when we were competing, we didn't have those things. It was a lot of fun. It was early stages because freestyle, you're expected to, go up against the people who are just as trained. Usually they would usually match with people who did the same things or knew the same kind of, same disciplines, because it wouldn't be completely fair to go against someone who, might not know anything that you're going against, in my opinion.
I feel that way.
I would feel kind of bad if I was taking on someone who just, walked in off the street. You know what I mean? Like, there's always that person. And there's a difference between taking on someone like that and someone who's like an amateur wrestler type of thing. But then there's a difference between an amateur wrestler or a grappler and then someone who is into jujitsu. But then someone who's good in jiu-jitsu might not be good in, Muay Thai, because they're completely different, right?
Yeah, completely different.
So that's why they did these tournaments, and basically they would keep you with people who are kind of training the same discipline, so it's a little bit fair. Didn't mean they, stuck to the same things you did, but, Now let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to develop your own tap out, your own submission in jiu-jitsu?
Yes. Actually, I made up my own MOOC today, actually. It's a very good MOOC.
Really?
And, yes, I make – so me, my thing is whenever I do jiu-jitsu, because I know a lot of moves and we drill them every day. Like every move I know, I drill them. So my thing is I'm always wanting to learn more, something
That's
to
awesome.
Catch the opponent off guard. So
yes, you need that.
If I want to learn a new move and there's something that the opponent is doing to me that's like doing something that I don't like, I'll teach myself how to like counter what he's doing and how to defeat what he's doing for me to achieve the submission that I want.
Oh, absolutely. That's a smart man right there. See that?
Yeah,
it's on the same way. That's good. That's the way you got to do it. See, when I was competing, I competed all the way up until I was about 18. I competed in freestyle tournaments. That was when I was given my final black stripe or whatever it's called, my grand mastership in multiple forms, basically. To get a grand mastership, you can multiple train, which I never got into the whole training thing because I just felt like it took a lot of for me personally, it would take a lot of responsibility for me to train someone. And in my neck of the woods, some people might not understand how to use a lot of those things I was teaching. And something that Chuck Norris told me one time in a tournament many years ago, I was like five, and he spoke at one tournament we had in the Northeast. Because, you know, they have guests sometimes at these meets back in the day. I'm sure they still do have someone from somewhere still show up once in a while. But Chuck Norris showed up, and he said that knowledge is power, and power is a weapon. Be careful what you use, how you use it. And I still remember that when I was five. In all honesty, if you look at the whole thing, it is true. I personally, I don't like weapons at all. and I guess you might say that my confidence level is definitely much better than it is for some other people. I took on the role as a bully buster in high school and middle school because I knew some kids couldn't. And I'm not going to sit back and let someone else get bullied. That's not what I'm about. And, you know, that might go against the whole, you know, code and whatever. But I also believe in high morals. And I believe in doing the righteous, doing the noble thing instead of sitting and watching something you know is wrong and not doing anything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very nice.
That's why I got, you know, I took the roles that I did. That's how I got my nickname. Jazz and, you know, the vegetable is an entirely different story. But it's a cool time. But, you know, I do understand where you're coming from as far as what got you involved. And that's an awesome, honestly, a lot of people start out that way. But here's the thing, what happens is what I find is some kids, they just learn what they want to learn. And they're like, okay, I know enough. That's all I need. Or they're like, okay, I'm good now. You know, I know it all. And that's when, you know, they find out that maybe not, you know. Or maybe, you know, everyone always thinks, you know, they got a one-up on someone else. But, you know, like yourself, I always continue learning, even though I train multiple times. I know many different forms of arts. And then I got involved in pro wrestling. Again, 18, I started, it's one of the reasons why I started, why I stopped doing the freestyle is because I was going into pro wrestling, which is a different type of training. And I had to go to wrestling school for that. And, you know, that was a lot of hard work too. But because I already had that mindset and that drive, you know, it was very easy for me to do. So let me ask you yourself, how has this helped you in your development as a young man growing into who you are now compared to a lot of the kids you think your age would be? You know what I mean by that? I just stumbled all over my words, but that's okay.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about. Like, you mean like what jiu-jitsu has taught me in the world?
Exactly. How is jiu-jitsu, how does this define you as a person versus other kids you think other kids your age would be? Do you know what I mean? Like, what does this give you for an edge as far as other kids you think?
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like jiu-jitsu has like taught me discipline, like I have a lot of discipline, and how to be respectful and humble to other kids and to my adults and elders.
You are right on the money on that one. I can vouch for that myself. He's constantly calling me sir and make me feel like I'm 90 years old. I appreciate it though. I'm just kidding.
Sorry. You know,
one thing about wrestlers and people like myself is we like to make a lot of jokes, but it's you know just all fun is to make everyone feel welcome and stuff like that. So if you don't understand a joke I make, just make sure I can clarify it for you. But I do respect the fact that you're very polite and you have amazing manners for a young man. And a lot of kids would learn a lot of lessons from you or should take note from you because, it's nice to have that kind of a thing. And I think that's awesome that jiu-jitsu has taught you that. I'm sure your parents have a role in that too, right?
Yes, they do.
Excellent. Now, how are your parents involved with your development here? How do they fit into this? How do they like it or whatever?
My mom is like the planner for the like vacations or whatever, not vacations, but like to Dallas, like how I said I was going to compete. Remember on the same day on December the 4th? Well, my mom will plan everything while my dad will take me to class and do any, like teach me and help make sure I'm on my stuff and my workouts and all that while my mom just makes sure the planet and the drive will be okay.
Awesome.
My brother helps me, and we both help each other to become the best.
Awesome. That's an awesome quality to have. Do you have that kind of unity with your brother and your family in general? And it's awesome you have that support from your family too, because I didn't get that growing up, but I made my own family and that's kind of what I had to do. But it's awesome that you have that support system. I think everybody needs someone, right?
Yes.
And it sounds like you have a great support system, which is very helpful to your development in general. So that's great stuff. And tell your parents they're doing a great job too, by the way.
I will. Thank you so much.
No worries. So this is your first podcast, you told me the other day. So what are your experiences so far?
It's really, really cool, to be honest.
Are you still nervous?
It's super cool.
Are you still nervous?
A little bit.
Are you really? Okay, let's see if we can help. All right, let's see. All right, well, don't be nervous. You're doing a great job. Don't worry about it. I've had adults who have stumbled over their words, so you're doing much better than a lot of them.
Thank you.
So now, do you watch movies or television?
Yes.
When do you have
actually
time,
watch...
now that I asked that question? Do you have time to watch music and television or TV or movies or whatever?
Yes, actually. I will watch after I'm done. I'll watch like movies and I'll chill after I'm done with everything that I need, like with school and jiu-jitsu. After I'm done, like I'll get out at like 7:30 or 7, and that before it hits 10, I'll chill for another 3 hours with my family or 2.5 hours watching television or playing the game. Or just wrestling
in
general.
So what do you watch on television then?
Well, I don't watch television. I just watch like Hulu, Netflix, and all that.
I get
like,
that. That's what we do too.
Yeah.
So what are you watching these days? What are the cool what are the shows that Henry says to watch? What are we supposed to watch? Tell us.
Okay, well, I'll show you some movies. I don't really like shows. I'd rather movies. So I'll tell you some movies.
Yeah, no worries.
First, Chappie. You know what Chappie is?
Chappie, yeah. I know Chappie.
That was a good movie.
That's not the Pixar movie. That's the robot movie, right, Chappie?
Yep, that's a nice movie.
Yeah.
Another one is Warrior, I think it's called. It's Warrior.
It's Warrior.
It's two brothers. They had a bad, they're growing up. And they have to fight in the cage for some money because they're both, like, on the low side of money. And then they find each other because they're both in the cage, and they find out that they're both fighting in the same competition. and it's the best of the best in the world. And there are two of the top, like me and my brother, and they have to fight each other. And it's just sad and crazy.
I know that movie. It's one of my favorite movies, actually.
Yep. I love that. Tommy. Yep.
What else do you watch for movies? Are you an action movie kind of a guy, or what do you watch? What is that? The movies you go for is the action movies, or is it you just sprawl out to other things?
Yeah, so I like action and fighting and warrior movies, like 300. I love 300. And other one called? It was like Achilles or Troy or something like that.
There's a bunch of movies like that. Troy, there's 300, then there's 300, the second one to 300.
Yep,
you watch a lot of the Marvel
too.
Movies, or is that too, you know, kitty stuff, the Marvel movies?
I like Marvel movies too. Have you seen The Eternals? I'm looking forward to watch that one.
Have I seen what? I'm sorry?
Eternals, the new movie. It's kind of
Eternals.
I haven't
seen Eternals. Yeah, that's one that I have not seen yet. I'm actually waiting to see Ghostbusters All Well yet right now.
Oh,
I'm a little bit behind.
I just saw Ghostbusters.
Oh, man, you're one up on me already. That's not fair. So now, you say are you on Netflix too? Do you watch Netflix?
Yeah, I watch Netflix too.
Oh, I know you're watching Cobra Kai, right?
No.
I'm going to give it to you like this, because I'm one of these people who, here's what I can tell you firsthand. Whenever it comes to something, never listen to everyone else in the world. Listen to yourself. That's the first thing I can tell you. And the other thing I can say to you is this. Always, when it comes to that stuff, never listen or let other people influence you to tell you how you should feel about something or someone. And I'll tell you why. For example, I go to a lot of these, like, pop culture things, right, where I get to meet fans and I get to meet fellow celebrities, like, you know, people who I know in the business and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And I was at a show one time. It was like a horror action kind of a convention. And have you ever seen the movie Home Alone, which is a very popular Christmas movie?
No.
Remember that movie Home Alone? No? Oh, that's okay. You're okay. I'm old, so it's an old Christmas movie from like the 80s, from the 90s. But anyway, I was going to say that a guy named John Hurd was in that, but I grew up with a guy named John Hurd in a lot of those movies. And at this convention that I was at, that I was taking some time and, you know, meeting everyone, saying hello to everyone, thanking guys who got me involved with filmmaking and wrestling and fighting, whatever, you know, paying it forward. Because you're always good to be respectful, right? And give thanks to those who, you know, got us involved, right? So people were telling me, you know what, he's really mean. He's really not such a nice person, and he's rude. And I'm like, you know, I know that's your opinion of him, but I personally would like to go up there myself. And I went up and I talked to him. And I didn't have any issues whatsoever. He was very thankful for me coming up and knowing a lot of his stuff. And he was very appreciative of me, you know, taking that time. I didn't have that experience that someone else did. And if I had listened to all of those people, I wouldn't have met him, because that individual ended up passing away just a couple of years later.
Oh,
and that's kind of how it works, right? So you never know, right? Right, right.
Yeah.
But like when it came to Cobra Kai, I was listening to everyone else in the world. I'm like, I'm not going to like that because everyone was saying, right? And at one point, I forgot my own philosophy, you know, trust my own instincts. Growing up, I always knew the Karate Kid. In all honesty, anyone who's ever done martial arts, especially back then, we used to not like the Karate Kid or a lot of those movies because of how off they were, to be honest. But, you know, I didn't read into a lot of that stuff, and I listened to what everyone else said about what Cobra Kai was. I'm like, it doesn't sound like something I'm going to be into. Plus, it was starting out on YouTube. I'm like, I'm on YouTube. That doesn't, you know, me and, you know, Ralph Macchio and you know, Johnny, what's his face, are going to be all on YouTube together. No big deal. But then I actually watched it for myself. I said, you know what? I got some time. It's now on Netflix. I'm like, I'm going to give it a chance. had a I said, I'm just going to watch one episode because one episode will tell me if I'm going to watch it or not. Because I'm also a film guy, and I don't, in general, whenever it's a movie, a fight, or anything else, I don't just watch something. I study it. That's just how I approach everything, watching movies, watching fights, or anything else. Everything's a learning. I'm learning something. I'm usually critiquing it or something like that because that's just how my brain works. I'm sure you do the same thing because you sound like you're a very intelligent individual who does a lot of that himself.
Yes,
so it sounds like you have the same kind of a quality, which is awesome. But when I gave it a chance, I'm like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. And yeah, needless to say, I'm not happy with the people who put it out early last year because I've been sitting around for a year now waiting for the next season. Not that I have a lot of time to watch a lot of it, but no, but I mean, if you're into martial arts, the Cobra Kai thing is a little bit better than a lot of the other stuff that, you know, the Karate Kid stuff itself. Because basically what that says is something I always believe anyway. Because I always look for the better in someone anyway. I remember as a kid, we grew up in a household where we like a lot of horror movies and things like that. And my mother was a big fan of horror movies and things of that nature. So I'm desensitized to anything anyway. But when it comes to like people, characters that, you know, are supposed to be these mean people, I would always find the enduring qualities and how could I help them get not turn out that way. That's how I would work out. That's how I did things in my head. Like people like Jason Voorhees. You know who that is?
Who?
I know you don't like horror movies. Someone say who Jason is. You know who Jason is, right?
Like you mean the horror movie that fought Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, the other guy who's not Freddy. Oh, the Freddy Krueger. You know who Freddy Krueger is, right? Everyone knows that stuff. Even people who aren't horror fans know that stuff, so that's good. But I used to think, well, how could I help him so he wouldn't turn out that way? Now, me being an early writer, I was writing at a very young age, and I would write these short stories where I would, you know, write ways of how I save Jason or how we would, you know, make him a good guy. It basically would just be, you know, saving him from drowning.
I said,
if you saved him from drowning, none of that would happen. And then Freddie was bullied in school and was bullied growing up. If someone stood up for him like I do for people in real life, then he wouldn't turn out to be the way he is. So that's kind of how I approach things in life in general. But that's kind of what I look for in movies when I can relate to them in that way. That's why, like, I can't just watch something. I study it. So I get that. Warrior was a great movie. You see The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale? If you like fighting movies.
Wait, which one again?
The movie The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale.
Yeah.
It's a boxing movie.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, I probably saw it.
Yeah, it was a good one. That one's based out of one of our areas up here in New England. So it's out of Lowell. That's kind of what that's about. And then, of course, one of my favorite movies is Cinderella Man with Russell Crowe, one of my favorite movies ever.
Excuse me, sir. Is it a true story? The Fighter,
Which one? Yes, The Fighter is based on a true story, yes. Both are. Both of those ones are
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale starred as what's his name? He's a local here, too. I should know this off the top of my head. He's like a local legend around. Mickey Ward. That's it as well. Mickey Ward and his brother, Dickie Ward. They were out of Lowell, Mass. Yeah, that's kind of how that was based on. By the way, we're not all like that, just so you know. Not all people in Mass are all like the people of Lowell. For those people. It's a movie.
Yeah.
But clearly you can hear the accent, and clearly I am from Boston because we have our accents, I guess. But anyway, I apologize because I know we said we're going to go at half an hour. I hope I'm not keeping you from anything.
Oh, no, you're good.
Are you
I
having
like
fun?
It. It's really good.
You're okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, didn't I tell you this is usually what happens? Usually you shoot for a half an hour. Usually once you're calm, cool, and collective, everything's fine. You kind of lose track of it, right?
Yeah.
Just let me know when you have something to do, because I know you're going to have to do some jumping jacks and stuff like that soon. So I know you want to get to that.
Well, I have to get ready for jiu-jitsu right now, because I'll have to take off at 4:30.
Oh, well, we're going to let you get going soon, because it's 4:30 almost. It's 4:10. Technically, it's 4:10 your time. It's 5:10 here. I'm going to let you just start. Yeah, no worries. So I'm going to let you get ready. But before you leave, do you want to let people know where they can find more about your information or anything else people should know before you take off?
Really, my Instagram, right, or no?
I do, yeah.
I'm so dumb.
No worries.
My YouTube channel is Henry Mena. My YouTube channel is Henry Mena, and my Instagram is The Mena Boys, and we're two jiu-jitsu fighters, and we're going to be in the UFC. Just to wait when we get older. As soon as I turn 18, I'm going for the championship belt. So, yeah, can't wait.
Well, you heard it. Awesome. Well, Henry, it was a very pleasure speaking with you. You're a great young man, and I think you guys are going to do big things. Keep up the great work, all right?
Okay, thank you so much.
No worries. And once you come to the F World headquarters once, you're always welcome to the F World headquarters, as you are initiated into the F World. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, I'm going to let you get ready so you can go do your thing. You keep safe and have a great Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thanks for coming into the F World headquarters.
Yes, you too.
Thank you, my friend.
Tell your family I said Thanksgiving too. You too.
I definitely will. We'll touch base with you after the fourth. Well, maybe we'll see about squeezing you in to talk about both of your fights.
Okay. Yes.
All right, brother. Be safe. All right. We'll be in touch.
Okay. See you safe too. I mean.
All right, buddy.
You know what
I mean. Bye. I do. You're good.
Bye.
All right, bud. Bye. Okay. So everyone. So that was Henry Mena, as you can hear. See, he is an up-and-coming, as you heard it, he's going to be in the UFC, he says, he and his brother. And with the dedication that he has and the drive that he has, I dare someone to say he's not. Because I am living proof, as he will be also, that you can do anything you set your mind into and you put the work into getting. You obviously cannot just sit around the couch eating Cheetos all day and expect to succeed in becoming a bodybuilder or a fighter. You don't become a great fighter by watching people, just by sitting there and watching people fight. You become a fighter by actually getting training and going actually and fighting. So there's that. So, you know, kudos to him. He's going to be doing big things. We know he is. So a big thank you to him coming in the show on the show. He was a little nervous, as you could hear, but I think we got him through his nerves, I have to say. So to you guys, the F4L universe around the world, how are you all doing? So while we have some time, I got about 46 minutes left. Poor kid's going to be running like a wig, you know, if he's going to be his training school, I don't know how far away it is, but if it's 4:13 right now and he has to be there 4:30, he's running a little late. Sorry, bro. But anyway, to everyone else, I hope you guys are doing great and having fun. And yeah, as you hear, more and more people will be joining our roster. And I was told that we're going to have the new software is supposed to be phenomenal, supposedly. But I had checked with the powers that I trust, my sources, if you would, and they told me there is no information that they have that can let me know when I can get better software to make a better show. But that's okay. I can tell you guys, like I said, Henry will be making his debut on our show on December 4th. And apparently he's going to be fighting there in, I think he said, Austin, Texas as well. beating people up there. Or Dallas, Texas, he's gonna, him and his brother are going to be hopefully tapping people up there. So good luck to him and his brother up there in their competition, real life and then on our show. And again, shout out to all of our regular people who we have on our show on a regular basis who have been kind of tearing it up on our show and in real life. Those of you guys who watch our show religiously, you know who all of our champions are by now. You know, we have the Stritzels who started out on the show as a tag team, both Mason and Carter Stritzel, who are also MMA competitors, also masters of jiu-jitsu, also beasts in the gym. And you've seen our show, you've seen them progress on our show even, and now both sit at the top of our divisions. Mason is our current FWRL Icon champion, and Carter is our current FWRL, is our current Dream Masters MMA Grand Prix champion. You know, but that being said, Mason and Carter like competition. Henry likes competition as well as some other people who are going to be making their debuts very shortly. That being said, you know, it's going to be an interesting division. It's going to be a lot of hard work. Other people who made their debuts not long ago, Jaden Brookus, by the way, quick shout out to him. He's going to be coming on the show eventually too. But a quick shout out to our one half of our tag team champions. His birthday was last week. But Jaden Brookus, his big debut last show, he and his tag team partner and good friend in life, Connor, both after the United States tag team titles in their debut, goes to show you that anything can happen with hard work. Had nothing to do with us, as you heard, again. And, of course, on our last show as well, Jackson R. Scott, the incomparable one, one of the most notorious VA champions we've ever had. He captured the social media championship, which, yes, that does constitute the rematch, which will happen on the 4th of December. So Jackson, Father Evil, is not happy about losing his title, and he's coming looking for it. And Jackson is probably laughing somewhere and saying, okay, let's go. Knowing him. And so that's going to be fun. And we have a lot of other great stuff. We have a trio of brothers who are going to make in their debut. Currently debating whether or not to debut them as a whole or individual, but we'll have to wait to find that out. You know, the Stritzels are two, but the new group of brothers are going to be coming in are three. The Odells are coming, ladies and gentlemen, and Henry, who we just had on our show, I know he knows one of those individuals who he had to face not long ago. And the Stritzels actually know them as well because they have helped the Stritzels in real life train for their fights in real life. So it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic as all these youth powerhouses and future UFC icons who are already FWRL icons will be, you know, reaching for the stars and doing big things on our show first. So beware. Now, I didn't get to ask Henry. We're going to have to find out, though. John, who was on our show last week, proposed a very interesting question. What if we were to have one of our FL icons stream it and then call the action with us while in commentary? I'm going to look into seeing if this is something we can do. I think it might be possible. As my son and I do a similar tactic to do our Us Versus Them show now. If this is possible, would it be interesting hearing from someone who is in the middle of one of their matches? Would that make a different thing? We've never thought of this before. So a big shout out to John for giving this the idea because it's been spinning in my head since then and wondering, can I pull that off? And if I can, which of our icons would want to come on and talk about their match and possibly do their own commentary along with me? We'll have to sit there and watch and find out. But anywho, I wanted to go a couple of the shout-outs. I want to shout out, I mentioned Happy Hanukkah earlier to all of our friends out there, early Hanukkah, and that includes Mike from OK Thank You, as well as Michael Fishman, our acting friend, who was our first guest here on the FRL headquarters. So we want to condemn them, and Mike is on our show as well. So both individuals, we're super honored to have them on, and a happy Hanukkah to them. And future, have some other people. I want to give another quick shout-out. A certain other member of, I just recently got wind and found out that a member of OK Thank You may will be joining my club in the marriage column. So I want to, I'm not going to say whom yet, but I want to be, he knows who he is, but a big shout-out to him. And I wish him the best. And I'll tell you know, some things in life you're destined for. It's some things you got to work at. And I always knew that being a husband and a father was definitely on my, this is going to happen for sure. And here it is. So that's how that like works. So it's going to be exciting. But congratulations to him, and best of luck to you guys. I know it's coming up. And I think we just had some other people who got married not long ago. Big shout out to them, our Monster Mania fans. And speaking of Monster Mania, we'll see you guys in March for Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, as the Vengeance family is coming to Jersey again. And we're going to have to track down the Hagen and find out when he's coming on, as well as our friend Joe Bruin from the New England Fan Fest and All Access and the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame founder. Joe Bruin is going to be coming in here as well at some point to talk to us, as well as a stream of other people. It's only going to get bigger and better as the FRL headquarters is going to expand, and it's going to get bigger. And you know what? We respect everyone's differences, and we always treat others the FRL way. And our guest today, nonetheless, is very well deserving to be FRL, if not so or more so. And a good lesson to all of us again. And by the way, point out that, to be honest with you guys, I know this is going to probably get some hype, I'm sure, get some heat. But sometimes in life, when you're dealing with bullies, best way to deal with them is by calling them out and standing up to them. To be honest with you, until you do take a stand, they're not going to stop. That's the reality of it. And the reality of it is sometimes you are going to have to stand up for yourself. You can ask for all the help in the world, but you have to stand yourself eventually. It's okay if you get strength in numbers. That's cool. You can tell someone if you want, if you think that's going to help you. Eventually, you're going to have to deal with the problem at hand. And I say this, about 80% of the kids I've ever faced who were bullies, probably 85, 89, probably a high percentage, actually. I'm not going to do the Scott Steiner math here, but a good percentage of those bullies, once called out and once put in their place one time, never tried it again and dropped the tough guy attitude. So it does work. It is effective. But you do have to kind of conquer your fear and stand up for it. You know, and let me tell you, when it comes to dealing with bullies, my suggestion is to those who are getting bullied, it's not going to be popular, but all of the feelings that they're making you feel, turn that on them, because that should be on them and not on you. You're awesome humans. You're awesome people being who you are. And I don't condone bullying at all. Always be yourself. Always stand up for what you believe in. And if someone else doesn't like it, you know what? Tough. I said the other day, I was sitting at a bus stop the other day, and I was singing some music. A person looked at me and told me to stop singing because they were having a bad day. I looked at them and said, go to the next bus stop then if you have an issue with it. It's not my fault you have a shitty life. Part of my language. But I'm not going to let someone keep me from doing something because someone else is not liking my song choices or whatever else. And I respect everyone else for their own things. You know, everyone has bad days. We all have bad days. you don't take it out on other people and you don't make it about yourself. All honesty, if I'm having a bad day and someone's singing a song, I would probably find more joy out of that than I'll have anything else. So there. All right. So we got 35 minutes left of this awesome F4L headquarters. And we already had an amazing show. We're lucky enough to have a awesome, you know, young man who's going to be doing big things. And we're going to have more of these people coming in who are these are what Dream Masters are made of. These are icons. This is why I started the show a year ago, a little over a year ago. There are a lot of negative things in the world and a lot of negative things you can look at things like, you know, this young man who was on our show today, he was getting bullied. He could have, you know, hid under the thing and kept on changing schools and hiding and, you know, not doing anything. Instead, he used it as motivation. He was taught how to stand up for himself, got the skill, and now look at the confidence. That's what you take home. And that is the lesson to be learned. So if you don't like something going on in your life, everyone, you need to do something about it. You can't just sit there and say, I don't like this and I don't like that, if you're not willing to do something about it. That's a reality. One of my biggest pet peeves is when someone will say, well, that's not a good idea, or don't do this or don't do that, but yet not offer any kind of a solution of what to do instead. That's a pet peeve. Or someone who will say, well, that's a bad thing. Someone should do something about that, instead of not taking the initiation to do something about it. There are two kinds of people in the world. The people who see things and can turn the blind eye and walk the other way. And then there's those who see something, know it's wrong, and then get involved in fixing it. There are those who will pay someone $100,000 to paint their room. And then there's those who will grab the paintbrush and paint it themselves. There are those who will sit there and be late waiting for a bus that is late, rather than walk 15 feet to the place you're supposed to get to. Moral of the story, if you don't like something in your life, if something's not adding up, then do something about it. If you have people who are always late and all of these other things, guess what? Get your license. Take yourself. I am an individual who is very punctually on time for everything. I've been even accused of being overly punctual. But guess what? If I have to rely on other people to get me places in life, then I'm going to sit around and be disappointed. No. If I need to go someplace, I need to get there myself. If it's not me walking there, then it's me taking a bus. It's me driving or whatever the case may be. These are the lessons you learn. If you're a heavy person or someone who has, you know, put on a little bit of weight and you're tired of how you look when you look in the mirror, you're like, that's not how I enjoy looking at myself. Well, then you need to put the work into fixing it. That's the only way that's going to work. Sorry to tell you. If you're a person who is too thin and you think you need to put on something or do something, then guess what? Then that's what you need to do. You need to eat something and do something about it. If you want to have muscle, you need to go to the gym. You need to work out or something, or do something constructive to make that happen. If you want to work on writing, then you better get a pen and piece of paper and put the pen to the paper. If you want to make it in television, make it in film, make it in music, guess what? You need to go and audition. You need to show up at these shows. You got to get involved with various different theatrics. There's always a way to get whatever it is you want to get done in a constructive way, rather than just say, I want to do that. We live in a time where everyone wants to pass the buck to someone else. It's someone else's issue. It's someone else's problem. If you can do something about your own issues, then do it. A lot of the times people ask me my political views, and as a rule, I don't get involved with political reviews, just like I don't get involved with a lot of other different, you know, things you don't talk about. because it adds to, you know, annoyances and stuff. Personally, being F4L, I accept everything, and I'm open to everything, and I don't judge people for how they look at something if I don't look at it that way. But I'll tell you what I don't do. I will not offer my 2 points or offer my opinions on things that I don't have a clarified or a qualified, you know, knowledge of to make it a rational decision either. What does that mean? What that means is, that sounds more confusing than it is. But in other words, I went to school for wrestling, for film, for television, and for human services. I didn't go to school for political views. So I shouldn't be offering, you know, my words shouldn't have anything to do with political worlds if that's not something I went to school for. Those people who don't like something the way something's not run, especially when it comes to elections. If you're in the United States of America, for example, there is one thing that you have an advantage that no one else in the world, or not a lot of people in the world has. Guess what? You have a voice and you have a choice. A lot of the times people will choose not to vote. It's someone else's issue. It's not going to do any good anyway. Why bother? I'll tell you why bother. I vote every single election. Why? Two reasons. One, because I can. Because I have the ability to, because it's a freedom that I am given. It is a responsibility, which is two. For me, for not only my sake, now granted my kids are older now, they can vote themselves. But before, I'm not only voting for me, I'm voting for my family and the people in which who I believe this is how they want to be. And you can only do your part on all of these things. And if you don't like how something is run, especially in the United States, guess what? Do something about it. Vote the person out. Nominate someone who you think can do a better job. Or if you don't think anyone else is qualified, then stop talking about what everyone people should do, and you grab the book, you put your name on the ballot, and you do it yourself. Fact. That's reality, folks. That's how you get things done. You don't get places by talking about things. It's kind of like when you are a Canadian pop singer, and you call someone out for a fight, and then you're supposed to fight the person, but then when you find out the person is actually going to fight, you back out. And then when you reach out to a promoter and say, hey, I want to fight someone, find me a fight, the person finds you a fight and you get ready to the fight, and then you back out again because of whatever reason. That is just talk. Me, I stand by everything I say. I support everything I say. I back up everything I say, which is why I'm careful about treading into things I don't know about. We all learn something every day, and one thing you need to learn is that you have a voice no matter where you are, and you need to use it. If you are a person who is on social media, you have a voice and a stage. And if you feel the need to get involved with something, know where your place is when you're getting involved first, and then keep it short and brief to what you know you can back up. Don't talk about things when you are not willing to do any kind of a work to fix a solution. I'm talking about anyone who's talking about how something's run or whatever else. How many people have watched Twitter or whatever, and one's sitting there ranting about something they don't like, but no one does anything or offers any kind of a solution. Let's, you know, complain about this and not do anything to fix it. Talk is cheap. Stop talking and do it. I didn't get to tell Henry one of my favorite fight stories, and I was going to ask him one of his favorites too, but here's one of my favorite fighting stories in the tournament stays. Now, here's the thing about when I used to compete in combat sports, and I get a lot of these questions, so this is kind of going to tie in. So I chose to wait till now to talk about this, to address this question today. Anyway. When I was competing in freestyle tournaments, there was always the kids that, you know, talked a lot of the game. They all talked, you know, throughout the locker room, the schools. This one's got a reputation. Now, you got to remember, back in the 80s and the 90s, there was no social media. There was no YouTube. There was no, you know, Instagram. Back in the day, you actually had to go and compete in these events, and then you would see these other fighters. Now, let me tell you something I've learned over my years. One, every fight I'm at, for the most part, it's always the same kids who go, same schools or people involved at those events. That's the first thing. So what I would do is watch everyone. It didn't matter if they were in my weight class or in my case, in my skill level or not. I would watch everyone because there's always that one time you might have to step it up in something else, right? So as I said earlier, I don't watch something. I study it, including fighting. I watch everything. And when I came to my fights, I would have my dojo master, my sensei, he would record our fights. I would watch my fights back every time to make sure everything was done the way it should be, to make sure my timing was done. Was I too quick? Was I too late? Should I have been faster? I had a really, really good, a decent record back then. In fact, I mean, I started competing when I was like 4 or 5. I started, you know, my first, you know, discipline, which was Jiu-Jitsu. I started that when I was 4. And then, you know, of course, within the course of that year and in the next years to follow, I would, you know, add other disciplines. I started doing Kenpo. I did Judo. I did Muay Thai. You know, and you establish all of these different things. Then I added some boxing standard and then, you know, all of that. Then wrestling came into play. So not you know, pro wrestling. I'm talking about high school wrestling, which is grappling. So one of the things I always know, I watch my opponent and I study them. Even if I'm not fighting them, I know how to beat every single person I step across the ring from. Regardless if I'm fighting them or not, I pay attention to details. I think in order to be successful in combat sports, you need to have that instinct. You also have to have the drive, and you have to also subtract your inner feelings. And I'm sorry to say, you have to kind of get that is a confidence that goes along with it. But then there's also a thing about being overconfident and then getting overly talkative. Here's the one thing I can tell you. Anyone who talks about what they're going to do, 9 out of 10 times isn't going to do what they think they're going to do. I have always, when it came to me fighting other people, I just kept it short and sweet to the point. You know, it was kind of done, you know, differently then anyway. Still done kind of probably differently. I'm sure they don't cut promos on people in combat sports, especially in the youth division. But when we were doing freestyle tournaments, I would study every kid that I was going to, that I, even if I wasn't going to fight them, I would watch everybody. So if that time came that I would have to fight them, I knew how to beat them. And then not only that, I had other kids in my dojo who would travel with us because I didn't drive, obviously. I was, you know, 4, 5, 6. My family didn't come to a lot of those events because, one, you know, my mother had my other siblings, and two, my grandmother, who did come here and there, who actually is the one who paid for my lessons, and actually even – you know, one of the most endearing things, and we give thanks on Thanksgiving, right? One of the things I have to give thanks to is my grandmother for paying for my martial arts and getting me involved in supporting that. When I was 9, my grandmother, who was coming down at the early stages of dementia and Alzheimer's, she knew she was, you know, coming down with it. She knew that much. So she had met with my grandmaster, my sensei, and made arrangements with him to make sure I was fully trained and paid for until I was 18, or not until I was 18, but until I got my black belt in grandmastership. That was what I was training for. And she paid him whatever it was to make sure that happened because she knew no one else would. So if it wasn't for my grandmother and having that faith in me and that support in me, I wouldn't have been trained in all those things. And I wouldn't probably have the drive I have now. And while we're at the threads of giving thanks, I'm thankful for all my F4Ls everywhere who I've ever encountered. I'm thankful that so many people around the world have embraced the F4L lifestyle. I'm thankful for my family, most of all, my wife, my 2 kids. I'm thankful that I'm still alive And I am proof that it doesn't matter how hard you get hit. It's how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. The words of a very wise boxer in a movie, anyway. But it is true, because you can't let things stand in your way of getting involved. And, you know, we can't get to where we need to be without acknowledging and being thankful of those who have helped us get there. So this holiday season, this Thanksgiving, don't look at it as like a day to celebrate pilgrims and overeating and things like that. Look at for what it's actually meant to be. Reflecting upon and showing thanks to the things that are important for those who celebrate Thanksgiving, but giving thanks to those and the things that have involved, that have made us who we are. For example, being thankful of good training when you're a combat sports person, being thankful of having great parents and a great support system, being thankful of having good, positive relationships, being thankful for the being blessed with the drive, the determination, the physics, the dynamics of what it is to be there, the knowledge. I know we have a little bit of time left, but I think we've said plenty here. We've had a great show, and we got to get ready because December 4th is going to be here before you know it. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving here in the States. So to everyone else, happy Thanksgiving from my family to yours. Keep safe. And to everyone around the world, may all your dreams come true. Thank you again to Henry Mehta for coming in here and showing us what a future holds. And when we have tremendous young men like him, we know the world's going to be okay place. So stick around, folks. More come much later on. I'm your host, the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, saying, may all your dreams come true. Live the El Fuero way. Peace, everybody.